Well, is there a bit of a clash between the Democratic presidential hopefuls' advocacy in many cases of single-payer health care, their push for that, and senior citizens' preferences in progressive states? And, of course, as we know, senior citizens vote disproportionately in primaries and general elections. So even in a political sense, this is certainly relevant. Live to Chicago, veteran healthcare pharmaceutical reporter Bruce Japsen, contributor to Forbes on those issues, author Inside Obamacare. Well, what about that, Bruce, your sense as to whether we have a bit of a philosophical and practical gap?
Well, one of the interesting things, Alan, is you have a lot of things that your listeners are going to want clarity on as we get into this, because Medicare for All is a good soundbite for a lot of the Democrats that are running, but they're not really defining what Medicare for All is. Medicare for All, does that mean we're going to replace all the insurance companies and we're going to go to one, quote-unquote, single payer for health care, which would be the government? That is what Bernie Sanders wants. That is what Elizabeth Warren says she wants. That is what a couple of others say they want. And then everybody else is sort of like, well, we'd like to get on a glide path to that. Joe Biden says we're not going to rip up the private health care system.
We know that Joe Biden's most solid demographic group are the seniors.
Yeah, well, and you know what? They are, because a lot of people who don't understand this, is that increasingly seniors, as Joe Biden I'm sure understands, are picking private plans that have contracts with Medicare. They're called Medicare Advantage plans. Now, that's not 50% of the Medicare population. Now it's probably about 25, 30, 35%, but it is growing. And so you have in this situation the private health insurance industry, whether you like them or not, they're becoming more entrenched in health care, the payment and provision of health care, no matter where you look at it. And that was part of the deal when President Obama and the Democratic Congress got the Affordable Care Act passed. And so I don't think we're going to move away from that. But so in the Democratic primary, certainly you can have differences of opinion, which is what you're getting. We have so many candidates, but I think they're going to be pressured as we go forward to clarify these stances, because as I've written and you opened the show with, seniors in progressive states, California, New York, they are picking. They're picking. They're not being forced. They're choosing private Medicare Advantage plans. Not overwhelmingly, but yeah, clearly.
Well, I guess some people who are younger who haven't even studied this, understandably, but might not quite understand you have this public-private juxtaposition.
Yeah, if I were Bernie Sanders, if he's listening out there, I would say with this whole in my world, in the healthcare journalism world, everybody's writing these stories this year in particular on these surprise medical bills, because deductibles have soared. Folks who are like, well, I got a plan for my family. You know, it was the lowest cost plan, but and it covers our drugs. It covers our routine doctor's office visits. But my God, I hope I don't end up at the hospital because my deductible is $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. One of the things in the single payer plan is like saying, hey, the government is going to pick all that up. You're not going to have a deductible. You're not going to have a premium. You're not going to have a copay. They should differentiate themselves if that's their push. And of course, it's single payer. Is hugely expensive and would cost trillions of dollars, and that's one of the things that would be used against people in the general election campaign probably. But I think when the field is winnowed, you're not going to get it until the field is winnowed, but what people need to understand is that when somebody says Medicare for All, it means about 20 different things.
But Elizabeth Warren, of course, is going to say, well, we had an illegitimate tax cut for the rich, which did not necessarily trickle down to you people hurting in the Rust Belt. That's the bottom line. Have those who have profited from being in this country pay more than their fair share, given how they've profited exponentially and disproportionately compared to average people.
Yeah, and she's pretty effective at making that argument. It's interesting, though, on healthcare. I think Vox or somebody just did a story about how she has not outlined her position on healthcare care as well as she has done everything else. But when it comes to the financing of it, this tax cut, this is just my political reporter's hat. When you got this tax cut and you're running up huge deficits with this tax cut, once somebody on the campaign trail says, hey, we're Medicare for all, would eliminate your copay, would eliminate your deductible. And then people on the other side are going to say, we can't afford that. I don't even know if that's going to be an effective argument, given what we have spent on the tax cut. It's almost as if people don't care about deficits and debt anymore. But then again, one party is more effective at pinning that on another party.
Well, it seems as though both parties have become parties of deficit spending and a little differentiation except for the priorities of how you use that money. Let me have you put your political hat on since you're in Chicago in the Midwest, not far from your native Iowa. Yep. Any thoughts about the presidential campaign? Any shifts that you see?
Well, it's really interesting. There are so many, and being from Iowa is akin to being in Delaware when you have a state with a small population, but it's spread out all over the place. And literally, 24 candidates is too many. I mean, I just don't. They're everywhere. And if I were back living in Iowa, it's such a fun time because you can go there are, and this is no joke, there are events that have more reporters than people.
All over the state
all the time. But what was really interesting, I was thinking about this because I thought, like, Beto O'Rourke, like, what happened to him? He sort of flamed out.
Yeah.
But you're going to have, I think, the dynamic will change, I think, come August, September, October, after you have the debates. But also, kids are not in college. And when I grew up there and I went to school at the University of Iowa, go Hawkeyes, you have the registration there is you can show up and register the caucus. You can change your registration and go to the caucus. I think there's going to be a new dynamic where people are not really paying attention that closely until the fall. I know, Senator Biden is the home state guy there, and he is leading, but that has always been a dangerous thing in a caucus state. I think he does have establishment support and so forth and so on, and everybody else is divvying up the spoils.
Well, we'll see about eastern Iowa, which went for Obama, some of those counties, then went for Trump, and what happens next. Got to go, Bruce. Thank you. Enjoyed talking.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And veteran healthcare pharmaceutical reporter Bruce Japsen contributing to Forbes on those subjects, but also tapping his brain on politics since he grew up in Iowa. Here on Delaware.